seated. Let us pray. God of eternity, King of kings and Lord of lords, we have come with awe and adoration before you on this Sunday that you have given us to gather in your name. We come with courage and assurance and the knowledge that even in the most perilous times of life, even the most powerful people on earth are afraid, we are not because of the faith that we have in the eternal and powerful Almighty God. We believe and know that we are secure in Christ, whose reign is just, whose power is endless, and whose love is unfathomable, and we can never comprehend it. We thank you for sending your Son Jesus Christ to this world. You loved us so much that he came and died for us, rose from the dead, and lives with God in eternity, so that we can join you after this life in this world with you forever and ever. We come before you with thanksgiving in our hearts, with all the blessings that you give us in our lives. Thank you for the gift of life, the gift of family, the gift of fellowship, the gift of church, the gift of freedom, all those things that you give us every day. In spite of the sufferings and pains that we may have, we are grateful to you, Lord, because you are a good God. And even at the end of everything, you make good for us. Bless us today as we worship together. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit. And in our singing, in our prayers, in our praises and the meditation of the word, everything that we do today, bring honor and glory to your name and blessing to your people. We thank you for your presence in our midst. Help us to lift up your name today and be a blessing to this world as we go from this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And it's our greeting time now. If you have not greeted each other, you can stand up and greet each other in Christian love.
Changes not, I
Thank you, Richard. And our responsive reading is taken from Psalm 8, verses 1 through 9. Please follow that in your hymnal. It is page 743. Please take your hymnal to 743 and please stand if you are able. How majestic is your name in all the earth.
Your glory is chanted above the heavens by the mouth of babes and infants.
You have set up a defense against your foes to still the enemy and the avenger.
When I look up at your heavens, the work of your fingers,
the moons and the stars which you have established.
What are human beings that you are mindful of them?
And mortals that you care for them.
Yet you have made them little less than God.
And crown them with glory and honor.
You have given them dominion over the works of your hands.
You have put all things under their feet.
All sheep and oxen.
And also the beasts of the field.
The birds of the air and the fishes of the sea.
Whatever passes along the paths of the seas.
O Lord, our Lord.
How majestic is your name in all the earth.
The word of God for the peoples of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. It is our prayer time now as we come before God with our prayers. Let us share our prayers of blessings and thank God for all the blessings that we receive in our lives. And also at the same time, let us pray, share our prayers of concerns and burdens together and lift them up to the throne of grace of God. God's promise is that He will answer our prayers according to His time and His will, which is much better than our time and our will. So let us come before God with our prayers of praises and our prayers of concerns. The regular prayer items are listed at the back of the bulletin if you want to turn with me to the back. A few items that we need to call out. As I mentioned before, several of us are not here in this church today because of various illnesses. Please remember Jean McBrayer in our prayers. She's in the hospital now. I just heard from Linda that she's doing better, but she's not ready to go home yet. So please keep her in our prayers. And Jan Basur was here yesterday, and she worked with us for some things at the back. And this morning she woke up with some kind of an infection, and she was not able to make it here today. So please keep her in our prayers, and Harry also. And Bob Donald has been moved to an assisted facility. He's doing really well, but he needs some assistance in the daily routines of his life. So we went and visited him yesterday. He is in good spirits, but he doesn't like to be there. He wants to get out of there. But that's a flexible facility. You can go in and out as he pleases. So he might come back home and come to church again, but keep him in our prayers to make all of these things smooth. And Kathy is in a lot of stress because of it, taking him back and forth and taking care of a lot of things. So please keep them in our prayers. And their family from Mississippi, many of them are coming and going back and forth. That is a blessing, and he enjoys that. And he was very thankful that we visited him, and we remember him in our prayers. So please keep Bob and Kathy in our prayers. And I know Miss Lou was able to make it here today. I didn't expect her to be here, but she made it. She's going through a lot of health issues, and we need keep in our prayers. And especially after the death of James, you know how it is, how hard it is to cope with this after the death of your husband. So please keep her in our prayers, and I'm glad that she is here today helping us with the service, and continue to keep her and her family in our prayers. How is Jack? when we said him, he was good last week.
He's doing really well. He's just weak.
Just weak.
You know, he just can't walk.
Okay.
So well, so.
That's good
but
to hear.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Okay, yeah, that is good. Good to know that he's doing better these days. Just thank God for that. Let us continue our prayers for our country, and particularly during this time of this season of the year. A lot of people are getting busy, and shopping and markets are getting, you know, malls, shopping malls are getting crowded, airports are getting crowded, people lose patience. Like an airport incident happened yesterday. Please keep all of these things in our prayers to have peace in our country. And also please pray for our leaders, our president, Congress, lawmakers, governors of the states and mayors and people who make decisions on a daily basis that affect our lives every day. So please keep them in our prayers that they will be guided by the Holy Spirit and do the right things during this time as well. Let us be thankful for our service workers as we remember our police, military, fire, our trash workers, grocery clerks and all kinds of delivery people and others in service industry, and also in healthcare, doctors and nurses and technicians who work hard during this pandemic. Please be thankful for them as our in our prayers, and also pray for their safety and their families.
Also, please pray for Mr. Gene McMillan, age 80. He lives in Douglasville. He just got out of the hospital with congestive heart failure and many other things. Mr. Gene McMillan is the father of one of my good friends. Thank you.
Okay, please pray for Gene McMillan. Has a heart problems, and please pray for his healing and his peace at this time.
Also, I don't seem like I have no good news, but one of my close friend, pastor friends in Mississippi, he was pumping gas at the gas station. He had a massive stroke and he passed away.
Hmm.
He was just in his 60s.
Hmm. What's his name?
Kevin Triplett.
Please keep the family of Kevin in our prayers and for their comfort and peace. Any other call-outs? Yes,
no, praise.
Okay.
From time to time, we've had just a person's first name on our prayer list, Nick.
Nick, yeah.
Nick is a
heart transplant.
Disabled veteran. He was wounded in Afghanistan. He had to have a heart transplant, and he had a heart transplant on September 11th, of all days, a little over a year ago. He has to periodically go back into the VA hospital in Nashville to readjust his medicine, his medications, because his body will try to reject that heart for the rest of his life. Well, 2 weeks ago Friday, they got his medication adjusted. They released him from the hospital. I know Nick through a group called Project New Wars. I know it's a short story. And what we do is we work with disabled vets, and we teach them about fly fishing, and gives them an activity, and teach them how to tie flies and make their own fly rods and things like that. Well, on that Friday, it was also Nick's 39th birthday, and he got released from the hospital with an okay on his heart. And he won first place in the beginning rod building contest nationally.
So oh.
He had a great day 2 weeks ago.
All right, good to hear that. Thanks be to God for that. And as we have prayed for Guillermo and Liliana, Guillermo is doing okay, but he needs a lot of prayers. As he started his chemo this past week, he has to, I believe, has to go through 6 months.
He did have to take him back to the emergency room Tuesday of this week,
oh,
but he's doing okay right now.
He's doing okay now, okay. So please keep them in our prayers, and please keep Guillermo especially for his healing and also peace in his heart.
I'm glad to have my son Alan with us today, and he's a newlywed too.
So. Oh!
Yes, yeah. Congratulations, Alan, and thanks for joining us.
Lot to be thankful for.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Yeah. If there are no other call-outs, let us go to God in prayer. Let's spend a few moments in silent prayer, and then I will close with a summarized prayer. Let us pray. Eternal and loving God, we thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to gather in your name and also bring our prayers of praises and concerns before you. Thank you, God, for life with all its joys and blessings. Thank you for the blessings that you have showered upon us. Even when we have been unfaithful, your faithfulness was always new, and every day it was new every morning. Thank you for covering us with your love and protection. We look up to you for all of our needs at this time, Lord. You are the source of all good things, and you only desire good for us. We come before you seeking your presence and also your blessings. At the same time, we lift up our hearts of concerns and burdens from the bottom of our hearts to you. Some of us are weary and some of us tired, and we are broken in our hearts and in our bodies and in our spirits in many ways. But you are the source of true healing, and the one who can make us whole. As we read in the scripture, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. When we are lonely, you are our friend. When we go through life's sorrows and loss, you give us comfort and peace. And you are the source of true healing, and we come before you to make us whole, Lord. We particularly and especially pray for those we have lifted up during this time by name, particularly Jean, who is in the hospital. We pray for your special healing hands to touch her, Lord, at this time. Heal her completely and restore her health back to normal so she can go home and come back to church and worship together with us. Pray for the doctors and nurses who treat her at this time. Give her the wisdom to diagnose the right things and give her the right medication and the treatment program. We also pray for Jan, who is at home. Whatever she ailing her body at this time, Lord, pray for healing, Lord. And pray for Harry also. Bless them as a family with your peace and healing and comfort. We pray for Bob and his new facility that he is getting adjusted to. Be with him, Lord. Give him peace in his heart above all. Pray for Kathy and bless her with your wisdom to do the things that she needs to take care of during this time. Bless them as a family and strengthen his body and his spirit, Lord. And let your presence be there with him wherever he is, Lord. We also thank you for Lou for bringing her here today, and be with her and heal her, Lord, according to your grace, Lord. Thank you for touching her. Bless her with your healing. Give her strength in her body and in her spirit. Thank you for the strong faith that you have instilled in her. Continue to bless her so that she can be a blessing to this church and continue teaching Sunday school and take leadership in many ways. And we thank you for her life in our midst. We pray for her family, particularly the person who passed away, Kevin, and his family. At this time, we pray for your peace with them and your comforting presence be with them during this time of grief that they are going through. We also pray for Gene McMillan as we heard about his heart problems. Lord, we lift him up to your hand. Heal him, Lord, and touch him. Above all, we pray for peace in his life and his family's life as well. We thank you for the good news that we heard about Nick, about his heart condition, and also the good news that we heard about his life as well. Bless him, Lord, and continue to heal him and strengthen his body and his spirit, and keep him under mighty wings in the future, Lord. We pray for Guillermo as he is going through a difficult time with his chemo and other issues. We pray for your continued healing upon him, and also grace for Liliana during this time to take care of all the things that she needs to. We pray for Martha. Thank you for her continued healing. Bless her, Lord, and bless Richard also with your healing hands, and support them with your mighty hands and strengthen them. We thank you for Jack, that he is having some good days these days, and continue to be with them. And Linda also, bless them with your grace and mercies every day, and your comforting presence be with them, Lord. We thank you for all of those who have healing in their bodies, and also pray for them who are afflicted by various diseases, particularly the pandemic and the different sicknesses that people are affected with. We pray for our nation as a whole during this holiday time, so that your peace will be here, Lord, that A lot of people are getting impatient. We pray for your patience to cover them, Lord, to bring them to understanding, to respect each other, to love each other during this time. Lord, we look forward to the coming of the Advent. We look with expectation for your coming into our hearts and in your lives, not only in our personal lives, but also in our churches, in our society, in our nation, and the whole world, that we will experience your peace and your love and care and compassion, and also extend that to others, so that we will bring peace to this world. Thank you for sending your Son to send peace to us, Lord. Help us to be the agents of peace wherever we are. We pray for the nation, our national leaders, particularly our president and vice president and leaders, lawmakers and governors, and all those who make decisions. Give them your wisdom during this time, that you will be guided by the Holy Spirit and do the right things that they need to do. We pray for our service workers, our medical professionals, our military, police, fire, and all those people who work day and night risking their lives. We thank you for their services, and at the same time, we pray for their safety and their family's safety and peace. We thank you for this time that you have given us together to come and worship you, Lord, in this church. Help us, Lord, to do your work in this area that you have given us in this community, to be caring and compassionate and meet the needs of people who have a lot of needs physically, spiritually, and mentally. Help us to be a source of blessing, to spread your love, not only this world, in this community, but around the world. And guide us as a church as we look for your guidance in the future ministry of this church, and to bring more people to your love and your kingdom. Be with us as we worship together, Lord. Let your name be lifted up in everything we do here. And also bless us and empower us with your Holy Spirit as we go from this place, that we can be more powerful witnesses for you in the days to come. We pray this prayer in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now it's our offertory time. The ushers may come and take up the offering, please. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Loving God, you are the source of all that we have and all we are. We come before you with a portion of what you have given us, Lord. Use this offering for the glory of your name. Help us, Lord, to understand that in Jesus Christ you have given us more than we could ever deserve. We thank you for all of those who are able to give today, and pray for those who could not give today. Cover them all with your love, Lord, wherever they are. We offer ourselves at this time as our own life to you, Lord. Take and use us according to your grace and your mercy for the blessing of your kingdom and the blessing of this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated as Richard will be having a special my tribute. scripture reading is taken from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 18 through 24. If you are able, please stand.
Then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, sovereign Lord, and what is my family that you have brought me this far? If this were not enough in your sight, sovereign Lord, you have also spoken about the future of the house of your servant, and this decree, sovereign Lord, is for a mere human. What more can David say to you? For you know your servant, sovereign Lord, for the sake of your word and according to your will, you have done this great thing and made it known to your servant. How great you are, sovereign Lord. There is no one like you. There is no God but you. As we have heard with our own ears. And who is like your people Israel, the one nation on earth that God went out to redeem as a people for himself, and to make a name for himself, and to perform great and awesome wonders by driving out nations and their gods from before your people, whom you redeemed from Egypt? You have established your people Israel as your very own forever, and you, Lord, have become their God.
It's the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, God.
Please be seated. Thank you. Let us pray. Loving God and living word, thank you for the gift of your word that you have given us, Lord. Help us to meditate on your word and experience the power of your word in our lives. Bless us, Lord, as we come before your word with a humble heart and an obedient spirit. Whatever you ask us to do and command us to do, Lord, help us to have an obedient spirit to obey that and follow you in whatever ways that you want us to follow you. Help us, Lord, to understand the mysteries behind your word. Illumine our souls to see the hidden truths behind it. Help us, Lord, above all to be humble, that we will experience it in our hearts and our minds so that we can be a source of blessing to this world. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Amen.
As we are here today, we all know that we are looking forward to the holiday season, and Thanksgiving is this coming weekend. You know, it's so quick that everything that come together, and this happens every year. Everything comes so fast and goes fast too. The scripture that we read today is about King David coming before God and having a very humble prayer before God. And one of the things that he asked God is, Sovereign God, you are so great. Who am I and what is my family that you have brought me thus far? A great king, the greatest king of Israel's history, is coming before God and acknowledging God's greatness and his depravity, his nothingness before God. A lot of times we come before God with a lot of expectations, and the expectations are that we have a right for everything, and if we don't get what we like, we don't like God. And if we get what we like, we are very happy and be thankful for God for that. That is human nature. We think that we have a right for everything, right for every good thing, and we don't have a right for anything bad. Where did we get this idea? I don't know where we got this idea from, because we believe that if God is a good God, he needs to take care of all of my needs and be good to me. And if he's not doing good to me, he is not a good God, and I don't want that God. So the claim of right things and good things in our lives is an idea that was given to us by nature, I guess. Then we like to have everything good. I don't know if I told you a story about a person, about how we think that God owes us everything. There's like a bagel vendor on a street corner who was selling bagels for 50 cents a piece. And there was a jogger, a runner, who runs by that place every morning while he was selling bagels, and he threw a couple of quarters into his bucket. And he would not take a bagel. And he continued to do that for several months. And he would throw 50 cents, and then he would go by and he would not take any bagels. And one day the jogger was passing by, the vendor stopped him. And the jogger thought he probably wanted to know why I always put money in there and would not take a bagel. So he asked him, "Is that what you did stop me for? You want to know why I don't take a bagel when I put the money in there?" Then the vendor said, "No, that's not the reason. I just wanted to tell you that the bagels have gone up to 60 cents. That's, isn't that how we treat God? When David looked at his own life, he considered him to be nothing in front of God. He won a lot of wars. He was, he's considered to be the greatest king of Israel that you all know. And he was selected and called to be the king when he was 15 years old, just a shepherd boy tending sheep. And he didn't have anything, any experience or any idea what to do with what he has got the responsibility. Samuel the prophet came and anointed him. And then he went through a hard time with King Saul, because King Saul thought that David was becoming a threat to his kingdom, his position. So he decided to kill him. So he had to go in hiding for his own life, but he didn't do anything wrong. God called him to take up the responsibility that he did not really want to, but here he is running for his life. And then eventually, after the death of Saul and his son Jonathan, David became king around somewhere around in when he was about 30 years old. And then he ruled for over 40 years, almost 40 years, until his death. But one of the things that he always gave priority in his life was to give glory and honor to God, who made him the king when he was a mere boy of 15 years old. That is against a normal human nature, because when we get positions that young, what do we see in people when they are millionaires and billionaires when they're young? And Richard and I were talking about this new generation that is coming up, about how most of them are becoming so self-centered and becoming looking focused on themselves and not others. And the charity of many rich people lately came out. The new young generations don't have a lot of names in that list. All those billionaires and millionaires are the older generations. The new generation, there are dozens and dozens of billionaires among between 20s and 30s. Mm-hmm. But many of them didn't make it to the list of charity. That is not in their priority list. Right. So we are becoming a society of self-centered people more and more lately. I don't know if selfie is probably a sign of that. No, I'm not saying that it is selfie is part of that, but it is becoming a selfie generation. Look at me. Look at me.
Amen.
And God, look at me. I deserve these things, and I have a claim to these things. And look at me is the thing. But David is also saying, look at me, O God. And in a different way, and he is saying that, look at me, God, who am I? Who am I in front of you? So that you can give me all of these blessings and call me to this great position that you have given me to do, this responsibility that you have given me to do. And then what happened was towards, because of his priority in giving God honor and glory, he wanted to build a temple, a permanent place for worship for God. And he made Jerusalem, the first king to make Jerusalem the capital of the nation of Israel. And he wanted to bring the Ark of God and start a worship place there. And he gathered all the material for it. And he found the place for it and planned for it. And he brought the wood and the metal and the roof and whole thing he collected. And so he wanted to get excited. He was excited about the plan of building a temple. Then God gave him a stop order for his build, his building. He did not give him the building permit. He said, you did all of these things, but I don't want you to build the temple for me. Can you think about David being disappointed? A man who loved God and a man who wanted to do the greatest thing, to build a permanent temple that they never had before. And they were, you know, he was probably upset. But before he got upset or before getting overtaken by his frustration, he went to the temple of the Lord, or before the presence of the Lord. And he sat there quietly. And then he thought about himself. You know, how a little boy who had nothing to do with the ruling nation was called with no qualification. And he was praising God for everything that he has received. And he said, you have, thank you, Lord, for bringing me thus far. And how great are you, sovereign Lord? There is no one like you. And there is no God but you, as we have heard with our own ears. And who is your, like your people Israel, the one nation on earth that God went out to redeem as a people for himself, and to make a name for himself, and to perform great and awesome wonders by driving out nations and their gods from before your people. You have established your people Israel as your very own forever, and you, Lord, have become their God. So he was looking at the history of all the things that God has done, not only in his life, but also in the life of the people of Israel. How God has been faithful to them, even in good times and in bad times. And that is what we, as people of God, during this time and age, have to consider. To acknowledge God's greatness. And that is when actual gratitude and thankfulness come in. During this week, we are celebrating Thanksgiving. We think that saying thank you is a good thing. It is a good thing. But at the same time, just saying thank you is not enough. It is more than saying thank you, to acknowledge from your heart that God is the source of all of these things. To acknowledge that all gifts that we receive from God, that is when real gratitude comes in. Man is dignified only when God's majesty is acknowledged. That's what David did. He acknowledged the majesty of God. When a woman was asked what was the key to their success of their married life for 50 years with the same person, she said, my husband and I have managed to be happy together for 50 years. I guess this is because we are both in love with the same man.
Amen.
The marriage was established not between themselves, but with God in the center. So I always tell young couples when they get married, a marriage is not between two people. It is actually three people. And the triune God is the bond of your relationship. That is what David discovered, that without God, there is nothing. There is no relationship. There is no church. There is no community. When you take God out of the picture, there is nothing left. And where there is no vision, people perish. That's what we read. And when God is in the picture, we will be happy, we will be peaceful. So during this time, let us pray that God will be in our lives and also in the life of every community, every nation in this world. Being in relationship with God is the key to happiness and success. David had a close relationship with God in spite of all the people that he had. David became a man after God's own heart. That's what the Bible calls him. In 1 Samuel 13, and also repeated that in Acts 13 by Paul, that David is a man of God's own heart. While David's offer to build a house for God was rejected by God, God was actually promising him that he was going to build a house for David. That David never thought about it. But God was already planning the house of David. You all know the term, house of David.
Amen.
When David was planning to build a house for God. God says, no, I want to build a house for you. A house that is going to be eternal. A house that going to be from generation to generation. And that is what was fulfilled through the coming of Jesus Christ through the Son of David. And we are being built as a house today because of his Son Jesus Christ, who is from the tribe of Judah and the Son of David. God is building that house today because David acknowledged the majesty of God. And God chose David to be the house that God wanted to build through his Son Jesus Christ. David did not focus on one second the fact that God has just withdrawn the building permit from him. Instead, he spends all his time focusing on what God has just revealed to him. He humbles himself before God and thanks God for the promises that he made to David. Then beginning in verse 25, he prays and asks God and that to be faithful with all his promises. And that's why we are here today as one family united in Christ, because of that David's house that God chose to build, because of David's acknowledgement of God's majesty. So God's house is being built today with all of us together as family of God, because the seed of David, Jesus Christ, came to this world through the tribe of Judah as son of David. David was not disappointed, he was not frustrated. In spite of all the preparation that he did, he knew that God had a better plan. And that better plan was accomplished eventually in history through his son Jesus Christ. This week, as we are celebrating the festival of Thanksgiving, in many places people celebrate various different ways. Many people bring their produce and their grains and have dinners together and gather rings of families and friends to thank God and thank each other. All of basically what this passage is telling us through the story of David is that it is not about me. It is all about God. It is not because of me. It is only because of God. That is what the message of David that I wanted to bring you today, especially during this season. It is not about me, but it is all about God. There are two perceptions in life that we can see. Look at me, God, why am I suffering and lacking a lot of things? Or we can look at the other way and say, like David, look at me, God, why do I deserve all of these things? I am just a sinner, but you still loved me in spite of my unfaithfulness. You loved me so that you sent your son to die for me. What do I deserve more? So let us be thankful as we go from this place, filled with this gratitude, and share that love to others as we go from this place. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
The closing hymn is hymn number 569 in that blue book. We have a story to tell to the nations. If you are able, please stand.
With a story to tell to the nation that shall turn their hearts to the world. A story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light, a story of peace and love. For the darkness that turned to dawning, and the morning to noonday dawn, and Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and love. With a song to be sung to the nation that shall lift their hearts to the Lord, a song that shall conquer evil and shatter. and the dawn into noonday bright, and Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light. Will the Savior be shown to the nations, who the path of sorrow has trod, that all of the world's great peoples might come to the truth of God, might come to the truth of God, for the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright, and Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light.
People of God, as we go from this place, know that God is there always, listening to our prayers and knowing all of our needs. All we need is to do is to acknowledge His majesty so that He can give us the blessings that He is planning to give us. Go from this place in peace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen. Please turn to this sheet, May the Road Rise. Nobody. I don't think nobody. Okay. All right. Let's see.
I'm going to bring some shrimp gumbo next.
All right.
We'll be here.
Okay.
Bye-bye, Martha. Thanks for joining.
Bye, Martha.